Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now. And wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show. 866 34 Christianity meets the everyday issues of life at thestevenobleshow.com. And even in politics, your host, Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God. And on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
I don't know. Who knows? All right, so somebody figure that out. I don't want to figure it out. I don't want to deal with that. It's not my stuff. Or to quote the governor of New Jersey, that's above my pay grade. And that's the last I'm going to mention everything that we're talking about in the news ad nauseum. And we talk about it all the time here as well. So instead of diving back down into the darkness and the bad news and the challenges, which I'm not saying they are not relevant. Of course, they are. But given that it's Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, we're going to turn a corner. We're going to push back. I was talking yesterday early in the show about we can be gluttonous about a whole lot of things, and we can be gluttonous about media intake and the news of the day. So let's just push back from the table, set your fork and knife and your spoon down, and instead of looking downward, we're going to spend Theology Thursday today looking upward as we talk all about heaven. And different questions about heaven, things that aren't going to be in heaven. And so our guide for today's tour will be none other than the president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Cue the music if I was in the mood for the presidential theme, but I'm not. Dr. Danny Aiken, the president of the seminary, how are you?
I'm doing quite well, and God is being kind and gracious to us in every conceivable way.
Yes, yeah, so go ahead, Grandpa, because I know you have to do it. I understand. It's a moral imperative.
Well, Charlotte and I were blessed on Tuesday evening with the arrival of our 8th granddaughter and 14th grandchild, Ada Schaefer Aiken, who was born to my oldest son, Nathan, and his wonderful wife, Kelsey. And so they've just arrived home this afternoon. Mama and baby are doing great. And so we are very, very thankful for this new addition to the Aiken family, Aiken clan, Aiken whatever you want to call Aiken Nation. We are very, very grateful for her safe and healthy arrival.
Yeah, praise the Lord. That's awesome. Congratulations. So Thank exciting you. And great to see the family continuing to expand and eventually dominate. So that's, that's what it's all about. We're here to take over. That's what our
We do have enough for a football team with a number of reserves and can almost field 3 basketball teams.
So that's hilarious.
We're getting close.
So how are you finishing the semester at Southeastern? Obviously, everything's different. Everybody's online. And when you're not in college, everybody's a homeschooler now. So what's this like? What's it been like? How are you guys handling it? And then we're going to spend the rest of the show today talking about heaven and questions about heaven. What's there? What isn't? What do we have to look forward to? We're going to spend all our time there.
Well, really, things have gone remarkably well, given the new normal. It is quiet on our campus with only essential personnel being here. But our students rolled over magnificently, as did our faculty, to a completely online delivery system. And classes have continued on full speed ahead. We have just passed, counting our dual enrollment all the way through our PhD, the 5,000 mark in terms of students. So the spring enrollment has been tremendous. The year.
It wasn't that long ago that we were celebrating 3,000.
Yes, and it's been remarkable what the Lord has done in a short amount of time. Our summer numbers look really, really good, and so we're very hopeful that by God's grace we can be back on campus in the fall. And so the school's doing well. We grieve that we'll not have a formal graduation in May. Everyone understands that, but we will have a large graduating class that will be deployed across North America and around the world. People are continuing to be very generous in their giving. And so we're doing well, Steve. And in spite of all that's going on, this has been a good and fruitful time for the seminary. And for that, we can simply say thank you, Lord, for your grace and your kindness and your mercy.
Yeah, amen. That's awesome to hear. And by the way, wherever you live, whether you're here in the Raleigh area or this part of North Carolina or outside the state, wherever you're at, you can access. There's all kinds of things here that you can access. You don't even have to be a Southern Baptist. You just have to be serious about wanting to learn more about your faith and about the scriptures. And so I just put the link up on Facebook Live. But if you go to sebts.edu/radio, you're going to see all kinds of things. Some you pay for, some are absolutely free.
Right.
All kinds of incredible classes that you can take at your own speed online. So make sure you take advantage of that. I've heard from people that have gone down those roads and taken, whether it's theology or hermeneutics, which is a class that Dr. Aiken has taught, how to properly study and interpret the Bible. Man, it's a rich, rich resource there, and you got to take advantage of it.
Well, instead of at this particular time gluing yourself to the TV and being a couch potato, take at least part of the day and study the Bible, study theology, study how to interpret the Scripture, study ethics, missions, evangelism. All of those type of classes are available there. And so redeem the time, as the Bible says, and be good stewards of what God's giving us at this particular moment. Yeah. The odds are, and we certainly hope so, a season of life like this won't come again.
That's right. Yeah, so make sure you take advantage of it. Okay, so when we come back from the break, I want to talk about, because you have a list of things that won't be in heaven. We're going to start with the negative, and then we'll go through a list. And most of these common questions that if we open the phones up, this is what would happen. But generally, what's your impression, Danny, of the church, us individuals? How do we handle heaven generally? Because I think we don't think about it enough. I don't think we think creatively enough about it. I just don't think it's that much of a big deal, and a lot of us just plain old misunderstand it.
Well, I think that we think about it inadequately. Some of our ideas are simply wrong in light of what the Bible teaches, but in many cases, we think less than what the Bible reveals is going to be ours forever and ever and ever. Revelation chapter 21 and 22, which is the perfect ending to the grand redemptive story of the Bible, tells us that we look forward to a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. And what I would want to say before we go to the break is that means that the current earth upon which we now live and occupy is not going to be destroyed. Rather, it is going to be renewed. Romans chapter 8 is very clear that all of creation is groaning, longing for what the Bible calls the redemption of the sons of God, because they know that when we experience our full redemption and glorification, this created order is likewise going to experience its full redemption and glorification as well.
Yeah, if you think a trip to Tuscany or Hawaii is nice now,
just wait.
Just wait. And so don't get all bent out of shape, by the way, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Spirit, and you don't get to enjoy everything around the globe right now, and there's all kinds of trips you wish you could take. Don't worry, one day you're going to have plenty of time to do all of that. What's not going to happen? What is going to happen in heaven when we come back? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Theology Thursday. We know we have a lot of new friends here on the show and new listeners and new people on Facebook Live. So welcome to the show. We're super glad you're here. If you don't know, every Thursday we're here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, one of six Southern Baptist seminaries in America, the largest seminary on the East Coast, one of the preeminent seminaries on the face of the planet. And so we have this blessing that we are right here. So I got my master's degree in ethics here, and every class I've taken, every hour I've taken, it's been such a huge blessing. So when I first approached Dr. Aiken, who's with me today in the studio, the president of the seminary, about doing Theology Thursday, I wanted more of that for myself, quite selfishly. But I thought, there's a howitzer sitting out here, and the only people that are really able to take advantage of it, for the most part at the time, this was probably five years ago, were students and local churches and stuff like that. But now by doing Theology Thursday on the radio, there's literally thousands and thousands more people that can benefit from this type of teaching and this type of wisdom and knowledge, which is why we do it. And that's a special place on the show. Every Thursday we do it. And Dr. Aiken's usually with us about once a month. And it's just been a great blessing to me personally and everybody else listening. I hear it all the time. For a lot of people, it's their favorite aspect of the show. So it's been a great blessing. It's great to have you in here. Thanks, as always.
Thank you.
Okay, so heaven, we're going to talk all about heaven. So before we get into kind of the common questions, I haven't seen this list. So this is a list of things that will not be in heaven.
Yes.
So we're coming at it from the negative, which is fascinating.
Well, Chuck Swindoll, of course, is a very well-known and popular Bible teacher and wrote a really fine, popular commentary on the book of Revelation. So I could commend that to our audience. But in his book on Revelation, he has a chapter where he deals with things that are not in heaven. And I'll just note them very quickly. He says there are 12 things that will not be in heaven. Number one, no more sea. because in the Bible, the sea often represents chaos and calamity. There'll be no chaos and calamity in heaven. Secondly, no more tears, because hurtful memories will be replaced by good and wonderful memories. Mm-hmm. Number three, no more death, because mortality has been swallowed up by life. Number four, no more mourning, not mourning versus evening, but no more crying and sorrow, because we will have perfect comfort and perfect peace in the presence of our Lord. Number five, no more crying. Number six, no more pain. All human suffering will be cured, which I'm really, really looking forward to that one. Yeah. Number six, no more pain. Number seven, no more thirst. Number eight, no more wickedness. Number nine, no more temple, because the Father and the Son will be the temple, and we will be personally and permanently with them forever and ever. Number 10, no more night, because God's glory will provide an eternal light. Mm-hmm. Number 11, no more closed gates, because God's doors will always be open. And then number 12, no more curse, because Jesus' blood has forever lifted the curse that we have been under. So those are things that won't be in heaven, and I'm grateful, Steve, that none of those things will be present in the eternal state of the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem.
Yeah, which is so exciting, and to think of it in those contexts is wonderful and biblical, by the way. One of the questions I've always had, then we have a whole list of questions. These are really common questions about heaven that we'll get into. Because there's people, you know, what are we going to do in heaven? Can I really imagine an unending praise and worship service sitting in a church, albeit a nice church? Or do I get my standard issue harp and I'm sitting on my cloud and I'm plucking away at my harp all day and just in wonderment of the Lord? But what do you, just in terms of activity, like what do we know about what's actually going to be going on in heaven?
Well, both of those are faulty images of what the Bible actually says about heaven. There is
I set you up nicely.
Well, there's nothing in the Bible about sitting on a cloud or floating on a cloud and strumming a harp. Nothing like that at all. Furthermore, though we will be engaged in perpetual praise and worship, which, by the way, we should be doing right now here on this earth. So that's not going to be new. It's just going to be done more perfectly and more joyfully and more fully. But I think, Steve, the Bible indicates very clearly that just as we cultivate and just as we learn and investigate this earth, we will have all of eternity to investigate and cultivate and enjoy the new earth. In fact, some of the questions we're going to get into, I think the Bible teaches that in the eternal state, there's going to be government, there's going to be creativity, there's going to be invention, there's going to be, I think, athletics, there's going to be literature, there's going to be song, there's going to be dance, there's going to be art, there's going to be drama, all of the wonderful things about culture in its non-fallen state is going to be realized and actualized forever in heaven. So we are going to have more than we could ever keep up with, more than we could ever imagine, and we will get to enjoy all of that in its absolute intended fullness as God intended it from the very beginning before sin entered the world and just messed everything royally up.
Well, that's I encourage people to think about all the beautiful things about culture and creation.
Yes.
With respect to the human mind and human ability and the Imago Dei, we're creating God's image. And then to expand in your understanding of what worship is, if I'm outside taking care of my lawn well, that's worship. If I'm creating something in the studio, that's worship. What we're doing right now is worship. So you unleash the potential, untainted by sin, with perfect teamwork and beautiful creativity, all to the glory of God. Instead of go, okay, hold on a second, because right now there's this is one of the most mind-blowing things to me. There's science right now says there's about 70 sextillion stars in the known universe. 70 sextillion. And with a large percentage of those, there's planets. So the only person that can really enjoy all of that right now is God himself. But what if in our creativity, don't you think he'd want to open up the playground to all of his kids and say, okay, now that we got all this garbage out of the way, let me show you what else I've got going on. And how long is that going to take? Forever. How long to have perfect relationship with everybody? Forever. How long to take advantage of the creativity that God has placed in us without the hindrance of sin? Forever. It's really miraculously, mind-bogglingly cool.
Well, what you're pointing out is there is a physical dimension to our eternal state that we often miss. In other words, we tend to think of heaven purely in spiritual categories, which certainly spiritual categories do apply. But we also should recognize that there will be physical blessings as well, just as this body of mine is going to be completely and fully redeemed. God's not just saving my soul.
Right.
God will save me body, soul, spirit, all of me. So just as I will be fully glorified as a redeemed human being, body and soul, so we can also anticipate the same thing for the created order. And so imagine, instead of tilling the ground at the sweat of your brow till the day that you die, we will be enjoying this earth in a perfect kind of a way, learning about it, investigating it, enjoying it. And I really like what you said, to think that we might also be able to explore beyond planet Earth, to our planets, to our galaxy, and beyond. I don't see anything in the Bible that would indicate that will not be available to us. And so, my goodness, we will be, people sometimes say, and one of the questions that's asked is, will I be bored in heaven? Absolutely not, because you will have all of eternity to learn more and more more, because there is only, and there will only be, one omniscient being, and that's our God. Even though we will learn so much more and know so much more than we know now, none of us will ever be omniscient as our God is.
Yeah, all of a sudden we're all going to be in line with Buzz Lightyear yelling into infinity and beyond.
Yes.
And with unbelievable abilities that God has placed in us from the beginning that were marred by sin, it'll be unleashed. We'll talk about what is the new heaven and the new earth. We'll talk about where it is now, what it's going to be. And then we'll get into this list of fascinating questions in the second half. A lot of the common questions that you would be asking anyway. This is Steve Noble. I'm here with Dr. Dana Yakin. Theology Thursday today on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Back at Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. We're here today at Theology Thursday, as we do every week with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. By the way, I put the link up on Facebook. I'll put it up again. There's a webpage you can go to and access for yourself. You can get into classes. Some classes, you know, you take classes, you pay for classes, but there's a lot of free content on there and certificate programs, all kinds of great stuff that you can access. So I'm putting that link on the Facebook live feed again right now if you want to jump and join us here in the studio. Just go to the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook. You're probably looking through your Facebook feed already, truth be told, and you can check out the links there. So I put it up, and you can check it out, all kinds of courses and stuff. So always a blessing to do Theology Thursday. Dr. Danny Aiken, the president of the seminary, with us today as we're discussing heaven. So what's the deal with what is heaven like now and then heaven then? Because we talk about a new heavens and a new earth, and all of a sudden heaven is – it's come to earth, but what is it now, and then what happens in the future?
Well, what I can say for sure is that the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So upon death, a believer immediately goes into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in a sense, wherever Jesus is, I think that's heaven. It's certainly a place of wonderful satisfaction and peace and joy because we're with him. Now, technically, our eternal state has not been prepared yet, because that doesn't happen until the end of the age, when the Lord brings into existence the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. So I often say that what we call the intermediate state, so I want to be clear, those who die in the Lord go to be with the Lord. Those who die without Christ go to a place of separation and a place of torment and suffering. That is not either's eternal resting place or eternal location. Eventually, the unredeemed go to a place called the Lake of Fire, which is what we know as Gehenna or hell. The redeemed go to the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. So right now, people go to what is best described as an intermediate state, which is on the way to their eternal state. And both have similarities in terms of the conditions, and also, most importantly, in terms of our relationship with Christ. Believers go to be with Jesus. Tragically, unbelievers go to a place where they are separated from the Lord, waiting for the great white throne
judgment
of Revelation 20, 11 through 15, where they will be judged for their works in terms of every sinful act, every sinful deed, every sinful emotion. No one, Steve, will stand before the Lord and say, you were unfair to me. I don't deserve to go to this place called hell. All will stand before him recognizing their absolute guilt and the justice of his judgment. So there's an intermediate state for now in anticipation of the eternal state that is yet to come.
And then heaven takes on material form and ends up here.
Absolutely, because he talks about the New Jerusalem coming down to earth. And so in the book of the Revelation, the New Jerusalem is both a place and a people. The body of Christ, believers constitute the New Jerusalem, and yet the New Jerusalem is also a place where we're going to go and where we're going to live as well. But the Bible seems to indicate that we have access to all of what is called eternity. So whether it's described in separate categories as new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, whether they're all in some sense one, I tend to think of them in terms of separation, but nevertheless, we will be able to enjoy all of that regardless of how it is constituted forever and ever and ever. And of course, the best part about it, as we alluded to a moment ago, is that the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem is where our God is, and he will dwell with us in perfect relationship and perfect fellowship forever and ever. And so whatever it's going to be like, because we're with our God, it is going to be absolutely wonderful and beyond anything we could ever imagine in this life.
So you mentioned fellowship. So let's deal with the relational aspects of heaven first. These are some really common questions. And I'll just take them one by one, but let me mention them all first. So one of the big ones that for a lot of people, especially whether you want to talk about abortion or you want to talk about miscarriages, will babies go to heaven? Will we know one another in heaven, recognize loved ones in heaven? And then, of course, there's the issue of marriage. And with the issue of marriage is the issue of sex. So those are kind of the relational aspects of heaven. So to help us understand that.
Well, again, I think one aspect that we often miss when it comes to thinking well about heaven is the relational aspect, both in terms of our relationship to God, because we tend to think mostly, well, heaven's just going to be this place where I go after I die, and it's just going to be cool to enjoy no more sin, no more death, no more sorrow forever and ever and ever. And Steve, all of that is absolutely true. But when you look at what the Bible emphasizes, it emphasizes both our relationship in terms of intimacy with our God, but also in terms of our relationship and our intimacy with one another as well. And so heaven is so multifaceted in terms of the blessings that we're going to experience and enjoy. It really is difficult to get your arms around all of it. So again, that's why I would encourage people, when you have a chance, take a verse-by-verse study through Revelation 21 and 22. Recognize now it's symbolic or apocalyptic literature, but at the same time, those symbols represent real things and true realities, and you'll discover just how many different facets of the blessings that God has for us are described in those two chapters, which again, as I said earlier, is a perfect ending to the Bible. We were talking about a moment ago that one way of describing eternity is Eden regained and more.
Yeah.
So everything we lost at the fall in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve sinned against the Lord, we will not only get it back, we will get even more than that.
Yeah, amen. Okay, so let's clip through these babies.
Sure.
So whether we're talking about abortion, we're talking about just young children, 1, 2, 3 years of age, miscarriages, will we see our babies again in heaven?
Absolutely. I'm absolutely convinced that the Bible teaches that anyone who has not reached what we call an age of accountability or an age of moral responsibility are objects of God's redeeming and saving grace. That would include, tragically, all of those that have been aborted, but that is a blessing. It is also going to include all those who died in infancy or died as small children. I think, Steve, it also includes those who have some type of mental disability that prevents them from understanding morally right and
wrong.
There's
no moral culpability there at that point.
No. In fact, John MacArthur has a really good book on the salvation of infants, and he says that if an infant or if someone that did not have full moral capacity were to stand before God at the great white throne, they would not know why they are there.
Powerful point.
In other words, when we stand before God, if you are an unbeliever at the great white throne, you will know fully why you are there. But a child that never knowingly sinned against the Lord would have no understanding, And therefore, because God is gracious and kind and loving, further, I do think there are scriptures that would also affirm this. Yes, I think we can have absolute, complete confidence that babies go to heaven.
Yeah, amen. Will we recognize each other?
Absolutely. And we'll recognize each other in the most perfect and fulfilling way ever. So there'll be a knowledge of one another that pales in comparison to what we, well, what we have today pales in comparison to the knowledge we'll have of one another then.
Yeah, such a beautiful thought. And now this one's troubling. You and I have talked about this before. I'm not too keen on this. I understand it. But what about marriage? Because there's no marriage in heaven. And everybody goes, oh, that stinks. And I think you've said before, you at least hope that you and Charlotte have your houses, your mansions will be next to each other.
Oh, I'm going to ask for her to be my roommate. I've moved away from next door mansions to roommates.
Go big, man. Go big or go home.
No, as best we can tell from the Bible, there will be no marriage in heaven. In fact, Jesus says that in the resurrection, they are like the angels, neither given in marriage or taken in marriage. So I have to take our Lord at his word that marriage will not exist, which then I think also answers the question, will there be sex in heaven? Well, first of all, it depends what you mean by sex. Peter Kreft, who's a wonderful Christian thinker and philosopher, has pointed out that we will not lose who we are in terms of our personality and our nature in the eternal state. So I will forever be a male, and my wife Charlotte will forever be a female, all right? So we do maintain our sexual identity even in the eternal state, but there doesn't seem to be any indication that conjugal relations will take place in heaven. However, I would want to say this. As wonderful as conjugal relations are in marriage, what we enjoy in terms of intimacy in heaven will far exceed. Yes. So don't worry about being disappointed. Yeah. You're not going to be.
That's right. That's a great
way of
looking at it. I love that. So what about, and people ask this question, are loved ones in heaven? Now, this is where people get scared. I look forward to seeing all my loved ones in heaven. That's a blanket statement, and you're assuming that all your loved ones are actually in Christ. So you got to be really careful with that kind of language. But don't enter into one of those debates with a hard heart, okay? That could be very disappointing if people don't understand Scripture and don't understand the reality of sin. Are they paying any attention to us? Do our loved ones know what we're going through? Is there any knowledge? And when we get up there, are we going to be looking back and longing for the good old days in the intermediate state? I mean, what's the relationship between heaven now and down here?
Well, I don't think the Bible gives us a crystal clear answer to that, but I don't believe they are watching and looking down. Furthermore, why would you waste your time looking down at us when you're getting to look into the face of the Lord Jesus?
That's exactly right. You gotta change your context, because there's nothing attractive down here that would not be overwhelmed by everything up there, so to speak.
Amen.
We're talking to Dr. Danny Akin today on Theology Thursday about heaven. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. TheSteveNobleShow.com is the website. The podcast is out there. Pretty much anywhere you can get a podcast, you can get the podcast of the show, so you can check out all the previous shows. Yesterday, by the way, if you really want to, it's just some great information. Unbiased, truthful information and great commentary about the whole COVID-19 thing. Yesterday, I had Steve Dace, who's one of my favorite analysts, brilliant guy, loves the Lord. He's on the Blaze TV. He's on every day after Glenn Beck, excellent commentator. So he was on half the show with me yesterday. Just a great blessing, great conversation. So you can check all that out on the podcast. But here on Facebook, you can do Facebook Live. We do Facebook Live just about all the time. So you can look at past shows on Facebook Live. And during the commercial breaks on radio, you're hearing regular commercials and stuff. But on Facebook Live, we continue to have conversations, because we can do that here in the studio while the commercials are playing. So you get about an extra 14, 15 minutes of content when you come on to the Facebook Live feed. So join us there. The Steve Noble Show is just the name of the Facebook page. So I hope you check it out. Make sure you like it while you're there, and then we can stay in touch and have great conversation. Talking to Dr. Danny Akin today on Theology Thursday about heaven. Let's get to this one, because I know this one hits close for a lot of people. What about our pets?
Will there be animals or pets in heaven? Well, I can give a clear answer to one question and a more fuzzy answer to the other. The clear answer is, will there be animals in heaven? Absolutely, because everything that is a part of God's good creation in this order will be present in the eternal order as well. So when it comes to the new earth will be populated with all of the good things that God made for this world.
Yeah.
I sometimes playfully say that then means absolutely dogs will be there. Cats, there's a question mark. I'm just kidding.
Let me just give
kidding.
You Dr. Aiken's email.
No, please don't. Cats will be redeemed.
Right.
So they'll be so different than they are
right
now.
Well, they'll become dogs.
You know what? That's a real possibility. But anyway, so yes, animals will be there. Now, will my particular specific pet be there? I don't know. We've had some wonderful pets over the years. We had a great, wonderful dog named Samantha, a big, giant, Great Dane. Mm. I would love to have Samantha in heaven as my pet forever and ever and ever, but I don't know. So I'm grateful and comforted by the fact that there will be animals in heaven, and the good news is I'll be able to engage in activity with them without any fear of attack.
You're going to be like a redeemed Lion King.
Absolutely. All of us will
be. Is that the guy on Netflix? Is that what they call him?
Yeah, I don't think he was redeemed, though. Praying for his soul, obviously. Yes. But so we'll have the joy of enjoying the fullness and to the fullest all of God's good creation.
What about rewards in heaven?
Yes.
Because heaven's going to be awesome for everybody.
Here's a principle theologically that we affirm over and over and over that's clearly taught in the Bible. Revelation brings responsibility. The more you know, the greater is your accountability. So we need to understand that the hottest place in hell is not going to be reserved for those who never heard the gospel. They are accountable to God's good revelation in creation and conscience. But those who live in America, who have access to the gospel, who've heard the gospel over and over and over and said no, yes, they will experience the greater condemnation. That's the words of Jesus in the Gospels, all right? But just as there are going to be degrees of punishment in hell, there will be degrees of reward in heaven. Now, that then raises the question, will anybody be disappointed with what they have? And I think the great Puritan Thomas Watson nailed it in his book, Body of Practical Divinity. He said this, and I quote, "Though every vessel of mercy shall be full, yet one vessel may hold more than another." That is a great quote. And so nobody is going to be disappointed with the gifts and the standing and status that they have in heaven. But yes, some will be rewarded more fully than others because of their greater faithfulness and service to our Lord in this life. And let me quickly add, Steve, that doesn't deal just with what they did. It also deals with why they did it. Yeah, motivation matters a lot to our God.
Yeah, what a great point. That's such a great quote. "Though every vessel of mercy shall be full, yet one vessel may hold more than another." So whatever size cup you bring is going to be full.
Exactly.
And full to overflowing, which is so exciting. What about the whole notion of no sin in heaven, no temptation, yet there's free will? How do we kind of deal with that one?
Well, I do believe that we will have a perfectly free will in heaven. We will be free not to sin. In other words, in our sanctified, glorified state, we will be free not to sin. We will not feel, I don't think, temptation. We will not be allured by any aspect that could draw us into sin. And so we will actually experience freedom in its fullest measure for the first time in our entire existence.
Yeah. Such an awesome thought. Will we know everything? Is there going to be a limitation to our knowledge?
Well, I think there...
If you know everything, all of a sudden you're a Mormon and you're a God.
Right. Will we have limitations? No. But will we ever exhaust our abilities? No. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's only one who is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, and that is our God. However, we will have unlimited capacity to learn and to grow and to mature and develop. It's simply the case that we will never completely fill that capacity. But that's one of the joys of eternity. I will get to learn more and more and more, never ending, never disappointed, never exhausted.
Yeah, it adds a whole other dimension to the phrase, be a lifelong learner.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty cool. This is a great question. Will injuries, deformities, and other physical disabilities disappear in heaven? Will I be shorter? Will I be taller? Will I get the hair back on the back of my head? What's going to be the deal with that?
I do believe, Steve, that aspect of this fallen world that speaks of sin and pain and suffering will be eradicated. So I do not believe there will be any blind. I do not believe there will be any deaf. I do not believe there will be anyone that can't speak. I believe all deformities, when we enter into our glorified state, will wonderfully and supernaturally disappear. Now, that then raises another question. All right, will scars, for example, be in heaven? And again, I can't answer that question perfectly. I do know this. There's every indication from Revelation chapter 5 that the scars of our Savior will still be visible in his glorified body for us to be reminded forever and ever and ever. Without the shedding of his blood, there could have been no forgiveness of sin. So I would think the scars of our Savior, for example, will be present forever. Might it not be also that the scars of the martyrs who have suffered loss of life for their faithfulness to Christ might be there as a perpetual witness and testimony, even in their glorified body? I could easily understand and see that. So that perhaps would be something we would need to take into recognition at this in the context of this particular question.
Well, on that notion, what will we look like, and like what age will we be?
Well, there is no age in heaven, because we are at that point in an eternal state. So I would say it this way. I believe that whoever we are will be realized in the eternal state in its fullest potential and capacity. So is a small baby that died in its mother's womb, or a small child that dies because of an illness or an accident, will they then be crawling around heaven for all of eternity? Well, that certainly is not their full capacity and full potential. So I would say, no, we will be fully known and fully blessed and fully existing in our fullest capacity and potential, regardless of when we stepped out of this world. In other words, reverse it. Do I want to be going around heaven with a cane or a walker as a 105 or 110-year-old? Certainly that would not be heaven.
Right.
That would be torture and painful.
Right. Sure.
So I think that, again, whatever we are will be realized in a glorified state in its fullest capacity and its fullest potential.
Okay, so Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, or God's real language, English?
Yes to all and more.
So you think we'll be bilingual?
Oh, I think we will be more than bilingual. I think we'll be polylingual. And we'll have the capacity not only to speak any and every language, but also to understand any and every language, which again just reveals the beauty and the wonder of God's creativity in terms of our ethnicity, in terms of our language, in terms of so many wonderful things.
What books have you enjoyed reading about heaven, other than obviously the book?
Well, probably my favorite has been the book by Randy Alcorn. Yeah. On heaven. He deals with a lot of these questions that we have dealt with today, and he does so in such a well-researched, but also he's such a good communicator, Steve.
Oh, excellent.
So he puts things out there that a theologian would appreciate and be challenged by, but at the same time, you could put that book in the hand of a layman. Yeah. You could put that in the hand of a teenager or even an adolescent and say, read this, and they would be able to grasp and comprehend much of what he is saying. So it's tremendously well-researched, tremendously well-written. I can't think of any book I could commend any higher than Randy's book.
And don't be intimidated by it because it's thick. It's about 400 pages.
Take a section at a time and read it over several months.
But
don't
it's
try
so
to read it straight
exciting
through.
To read. Because, and he'll tell you, and, all right, I'm extra biblical here. I'm just letting my sanctified imagination go. And it was really exciting to me. That completely and really revolutionized my
thinking. Well, and the good thing about Randy is his imagination is, I think, sanctified.
Absolutely.
Whereas some people's imaginations just kind of run crazy, and you're like, where in the world is that coming from? Well, probably wasn't put there by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly right. And so this is something, hey, explore it. Ask God to give you more of a hunger for it, because it's our reality. It's a present reality. It's a future reality. And it's going to be far beyond anything any of us could ever ask or imagine. And let's get excited about that. Let's not just, we're going to go to heaven.
It's going to be wonderful.
It's like, take when your kids are 5 or 8 and they're going to Disney for the first time, and multiply that by infinity. Infinity beyond, and then you'll probably be in the ballpark. Danny, great seeing you. Thanks for being here today. Okay, friends, tomorrow, Billy Abraham, just one of the greatest theologians I think I've ever met. I did a show with him, pre-recorded back in Dallas at Dallas Baptist University, about the opposite of this, about the devil. So that's tomorrow. That's a pre-recorded show tomorrow. Then I'll be back live on Monday. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.